Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the SeQuent Scientific Limited Q3 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Singhal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rutuja. A very good morning to all of you, and thank you for joining us today for SeQuent Scientific's earnings conference call for the third quarter and nine-month year-ended financial year 2025. Today, we have with us Mr. Raja Ram, MD and CEO, SeQuent Scientific; Dr. Hari Babu, Whole-time Director and CEO, Viyash Life Sciences; Mr. Saurav Bhala, CFO, SeQuent Scientific; and Mr. Ramakant, CFO, Viyash Life Sciences, to share the highlights of the business and financials for the quarter. I hope you've gone through our results release and the quarterly investor presentation, which have been uploaded on our website as well as the stock exchange website. The transcript for this call will be available in a week's time on the company's website. Please note that today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and must be viewed in relation to the risks pertaining to our business. After the end of this call, in case you have any further questions, please feel free to reach out to the investor relations team. I now hand over the call to Raja Ram to make his opening remarks.
Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome on the call for quarter three financial year 2024-25 results. We are now in the final quarter of this financial year, and I am delighted to report that the company has continued to accelerate its performance on top line and on margins. I will share the performance of the quarter in more detail, as well as the progress on the merger with Viyash Life Sciences, which was announced in September 2024. I am joined on the call by Dr. Hari Babu, Whole-time Director and CEO of Viyash Life Sciences, and also joining on this call is Saurav, Chief Financial Officer of SeQuent, and Mr. Ramakant, CFO of Viyash. Coming to the performance of this quarter, in quarter three FY25, our consolidated revenues came in at rupees 3,908 million, which is the highest sales in any quarter in the last 3 years. This translates to a growth of 18.7% compared to the same quarter last year, that is quarter three FY24. At the end of the first nine months of the year, revenue growth stands at 14% versus the first nine months of last year. This growth is on the back of strong efforts on margin improvement through a combination of pricing, product mix, and cost management. EBITDA pre-ESOP for this quarter came in at rupees 494 million, which represents approximately 64% growth over quarter three last year. When we consider the first nine months of the year, EBITDA pre-ESOP at rupees 1,424 million represents a 116% growth over the first nine months of last year. Our cumulative PBT at the end of nine months has also grown to rupees 280 million, which is nearly 150% growth over the same period last year. Clearly, the momentum is evident in the results, and we are therefore confident of systematically improving on all parameters going ahead. I will share some qualitative highlights, and more details are available in the investor presentation. There are obviously some developments globally which are geopolitical in nature. While we are alert to the events, our focus is on our operations and our customers. Starting with our formulations business, our operations in emerging markets led by Turkey continues to grow in healthy double digits, both in local currency as well as in reported sales. Additionally, we are growing exports out of Turkey, and our recent EU certification at the factory in Ankara will start giving us more opportunities. The formulations business in Europe is growing in volume as we introduce new products for Europe and other markets. In Latin America, we have extended our operations beyond Brazil and into Mexico and Peru. In addition, we continue to build a global platform for gut health products based on natural actives, which are increasingly getting preference as users and regulators get stricter on the irrational use of antibiotics. I had said last quarter that we are doubling down on India as a key market to accelerate growth in formulations. Our initiative, Project Udaan, to reach more veterinarians with an expanded field force is now yielding results, again with double-digit growth everywhere. We will increase our reach again next quarter, and that should prepare the foundation for higher growth in the next year when the impact is annualized. Coming to APIs, we see a positive swing in some therapeutic areas, especially in the deworming category. Our API revenues for the quarter have grown sequentially as well as versus the same period last year. Our factory in Mahad has received additional WHO pre-qualification approvals, and this should position us well for supplies to new formulators. During the quarter, we also completed one new CEP filing. Our margins continue to hold or improve, and we continue to drive the next phase of margin expansion with our new CIP initiatives. As discussed during the merger announcement, we will be very well positioned in R&D as a result of the merger with Viyash. You will hear more about this as and when we are in a position to share more information. As we head towards the completion of this financial year, I am very glad that the tough decisions we took last year on creating a more profitable product mix, closing a high-cost operation in Europe, and driving cost improvement programs systematically have now helped us reach a place from where we can accelerate growth. Our balance sheet is becoming stronger, and with the merger, it would be substantially strengthened to support an aggressive play in areas like healthcare for companion animals. I will now hand over to Saurav to share the financial results of Sequent Scientific Limited and then invite Dr. Hari to share the highlights of Viyash and the consolidated entity. Over to you, Saurav.
Thank you, Raja. Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here today to provide the key insight to our strong financial performance for both quarter three of financial year 25 and 9 months of financial year 25 as well. I will also share the update on the progress of our strategic merger with Viyash Group and Sequent Research, one of our wholly owned subsidiary. Starting with Q3 financial highlights for Sequent, we achieved a total revenue of rupees 3908 million for Q3 25, delivering a strong year-on-year growth of 18.7% and a quarter-on-quarter growth of 6%. Our formulation business recorded rupees 3008 million in revenue, registering a growth year-on-year quarter three growth of 19.2% and a quarter-on-quarter growth of 8.9% on a constant currency basis. The API business posted rupees 812 million in revenue, demonstrating a year-on-year growth of 16.1% and a quarter-on-quarter growth of 4.5%. The gross margins improved by 300 basis points on a year-on-year basis, rising from 45.2% to 48.2%. There was also a 120 basis improvement on a quarter-on-quarter basis from 47% to 48.2%. Our EBITDA pre-ESOP for the quarter amounted to rupees 494 million, reflecting a strong year-on-year growth of 63.8%. and a quarter-on-quarter increase of 10.5%. The EBITDA margins pre-ESOP stood at 12.6%, delivering a healthy improvement of 340 basis points on a year-on basis. Our PBT registered a very strong growth in Q3 of 444% from rupees 15 million last financial year Q3 to rupees 81 million in the current quarter. Coming to the highlights for the 9 months ended financial year 25. For the first 9 months of financial year 25, we achieved a total revenue of rupees 11497 million, reflecting a year-on-year growth of 14%. The formulation business recorded rupees 8849 million in revenue, contributing a year-on-year growth of 21.9%. And the API business posted rupees 2509 million in revenue, reflecting a year-on-year growth of 7.8%, both on a constant currency basis. The gross margin improved by 280 basis points from 44% to 46.8%, driven by focused strategic actions such as sales mix optimization initiatives and very selective price increase across regions to maintain our margins. EBITDA delivery stood at rupees 1424 million, which is a significant growth of 116.5% year-on-year basis. Our EBITDA margins pre-ESOP increased by by 590 basis points on a year-on-year basis, increasing from 6.5% in 9 months financial year 24 to 12.4% in 9 months ended financial year 25. Setting our strong focus on driving profitable growth across segment. On a YTD basis, our PBT also grew very strongly by 49%. Coming to other key items, in Q3 financial year 25, we recognized a net monetary gain of rupees 5 million on account of the hyperinflation accounting adjustment as required under Ind AS 29 for our Turkey operation, which remains to be in a hyperinflation economy. During Q3 25, a forex loss of rupees 52 million was reported, primarily driven by the sudden depreciation in currencies of Brazil, BRL, and euro depreciation against the USD. Large portions of this forex loss is unrealized in nature and is required to be accounted following the relevant accounting standards. Further, the impacted currencies, as mentioned earlier, we have already started seeing a partial reversal in the subsequent month. Regarding the tax impact, I need to highlight in Q3, last financial year 24, a one-time significant tax benefit was recognized in our Turkey operations due to change in hyper-accounting methodology as mandated by Turkey's regulatory requirement. This has resulted in a one-time exceptional tax benefit for which was accounted in financial year 24, but which pertained to prior years from financial year, including financial year 21, financial year 22, and financial year 23. If we exclude this one-time Turkey exceptional tax benefit in last financial year, then even the PAT has shown a very strong growth of almost about 65% on a like-to-like basis for Q3 financial year 25. Coming to update on the merger process progress, the merger scheme which was approved by our board of directors involves the merger of Vyas Life Science Private Limited and its subsidiaries, as well as Sequent Research, one of our wholly owned subsidiaries, with Sequent Scientific Limited. I am pleased to report that we have made good progress so far on the merger process as follows. The board approval, as communicated last time, was received on 26 September, after which the process started. The Competition Commission of India has already approved our application, and the approval was received on 21st of Jan 2025. The scheme is under review by the exchanges and SEBI, and that is going very fine. We expect the SEBI approval exchanges to come soon, and hence we remain on the guided timeline for completion of the merger process. In summary, our strong financial performance in Q3 and 9 months for the financial year 25 underscores the success of our strategic initiatives, focus on driving operational efficiencies, and our unwavering focus on profitability. The progress we have made in our M&A activities further strengthens our foundation for long-term growth and expansion. We remain committed to delivering value for all our stakeholders and are confident in our trajectory towards the sustained growth. With that, I now hand over the call to Dr. Hari to provide the details on the performance highlights of the Vyas Group. Thank you.
So, thank you, Saurabh and Raj for the update. I'm very happy to share Vyas' strong, consistent performance and also update on the merger scheme. Vyas recorded strong performance this quarter with acceleration in revenue growth and margin expansion year over year. Our core strengths remain R&D, manufacturing, IP, and also business development activities, These have been supplemented by efforts made over the last 24 months in development of high-margin complex products and also promoting those products, rationalization of low-margin business, which includes intermediate, and continuous cost reduction program on the various products. For this quarter, Q3 FY25, our revenue grew by 19% year-on-year to 384 crores, and adjusted EBITDA grew by 68% to 68.5 crores to the corresponding quarter last year. We have shared EBITDA margins of 17.8%, which is almost more than 5.2% of corresponding quarter last year. Our 9 months FY25, our revenue grew by 10%, and EBITDA grew by again 42%. And our 9 months EBITDA margins of around 17.4%, again, which is almost more than 3.9% over last 9 months. So our 9 months adjusted EBITDA is 189 crores. In line with previous quarters, we have generated 38 crores of free cash flow in this quarter and 177 crores of free cash flow in last 9 months. Borrowings reduced by 28 crores in this quarter and 122 crores in last 9 months. And of course, our net debt EBITDA ratio is continuously coming down, which is at 0.4x now. We want to reiterate that a lot of costs below EBITDA, particularly exceptional items, which are mostly related to merger activities, and one of the amortization of acquisition intangibles. When we acquired a few companies, actually we had amortization intangibles, are largely non-cash and non-recurring. So we have registered PAT. We presented in the investor presentation is an indicator of a steady state standalone probability. And also it's reflected in our cash flows and continuous debt reduction. Business growth is supported by investments in multiple strategic areas and a strong operating base, which we'll cover now. Our business has strong momentum across portfolio selection, validations, filings, launches, and adding more geographies and more customers. New product launches and filings. We launched two new products in this quarter in USA and has filed three products in this quarter for US and Europe. And as you know, our portfolio is very strong. We have 25 products in pipeline across different stages, and we completed four validations in last quarter. And also we received five regulatory approvals in this quarter from various agencies. And these are in addition to what we do CDMO and also CMO for big pharma as well as big generic companies. We had touched upon our complex portfolio, market leaders, focus on innovator relationships, and our management team is continuously focused on cost improvement, of course, continuously adding new products and geographies in this quarter. And now let me take you through a merger update. For FY25 Q3, combined revenues of two entities grew by 19% and EBITDA grew by 66%. And the combined EBITDA stands at 118 crores this quarter with 15.2% margins. For 9 months, combined revenue grew by 12% and EBITDA grew by 67%. And combined EBITDA for 9 months is 332 crores with 14.8% margins, of course, with improvement of 4.8% from last year. The combined net debt EBITDA ratio is now 1.2%. It's continuously coming down, whereas at last quarter it was 1.4. It's coming down to 1.2. And quarter on quarter, you can see that it's continuously coming down. So now we have started to plan integration of two companies and realizing synergies. And we have received CCI approval, as Saurav mentioned, and started prioritizing our key synergies with multiple areas. Of course, we also mentioned in a couple of areas in the investor presentation. And few of them are like R&D. We strongly believe we have strong R&D strength and IP focus. Definitely it's going to accelerate development for the animal health products and which can realize very quick, I can say. And of course, optimization is a key for entire group since we have large network, multiple sites, 15 sites all over the world. And our network optimization and also combined procurement can create a big synergies and in 12 to 15 months we can see. And coming to the business, we should be able to leverage our key relationship from both companies. Of course, we already started seeing from last quarter, few companies started actually giving us more business from both sides. Whereas a couple of years contacts actually adding business to Sequent, at the same time as we mentioned earlier, couple of big farmers also started approaching VH and few products. Others, of course, all other areas supporting functions, we started integrating. Maybe next 6-8 months we are going to complete this integration activity. And most probably all these synergies we are going to present sometime in Q1 FY26 to our board and we'll share to the investors. So the merger scheme, as Saurabh mentioned, we already received CCI approval and we're waiting for SEBI approval some, and we are expecting sometime this month or next month. Once we receive SEBI approval, we'll go to NCLT and it may take another 6-8 months. And I think overall activity is going to be complete by September or October as mentioned earlier. So with this, I will open for questions or clarifications. Thank you, everyone.
Rutuja, we can take the Q&A, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Jagdish Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats for an excellent quarter, especially on sales and EBITDA. I have a few questions. The first one is that what is our driving growth in the emerging markets and Europe? My second question is like, are margins improving in all our business segments? My third question is, will we cross 1,500 crores of sales in FY25? And my last question is like, why is our PAT is not moving at par with our EBITDA this quarter and what is our plan for it?
So these are the four questions?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So let me answer some of them. So firstly, of course, what is driving growth for us both in emerging markets in Europe? It's it's the work which has been done in, as I said earlier, on the product mix as well as new launches and pricing. Specifically, if you look at it, our biggest market in emerging markets is Turkey. And in Turkey, we have stabilized the business and we are seeing growth coming both on volume as well as on pricing. In addition, the exports, which is a priority in Turkey because it is a good base and we have a strong manufacturing unit there. Our exports have started growing out of Turkey to the neighboring North Africa, Middle East region. As far as Europe is concerned, the volume growth has started in Europe. We are also launching, in fact, we have launched new products in the area of companion animals, and that is getting us growth. And in both these markets, the growth typically keeps happening because in the first phase, you launch within the country, and then in subsequent quarters, you start expanding it to the other markets. So you would launch in Spain, which is where we have the base, and then we start expanding it to other countries in Europe and sometimes even outside of Europe. So that's how, you know, once you launch a product, you are able to, over the next 2 to 3 quarters, get your growth by expanding it. So that's really the reason why we're getting the growth over there. The second piece in terms of margins, I think we have shared before, margins are a combination of product mix. They're a combination of some work which has been done in the area of cost improvement programs and, of course, pricing, particularly in an inflationary economy. We managed to get prices without actually having any volume impact of significance. The third question, will we reach 1,500 crores in India on Sequent? I obviously can't give you any guidance on that, but mathematically, if you look at it, I think, you can calculate what the fourth quarter could be, assuming that it is pretty much close to the current one. So we should be getting past that, at least in terms of the direction we are in right now. I think the last one you have is on why is our PAT, and I think sort of explained that it was, one is that in the same quarter last year, we had had an exceptional gain in terms of a tax benefit in Turkey on account of local accounting requirements. And therefore, if you really look at it, it is more an impact of that base, which is why it is looking like the PAT has declined. But otherwise, on a standalone basis, I mean, if you exclude for that, PAT is in fact also improving. Nevertheless, I think going ahead, our focus is, as we look at both finance costs as well as our capital investment, which we will be, through the synergy of the merger, improving, we should be able to consistently improve on our PAT. Yeah? Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Shivani from Monarch Network. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Hi. Congratulations on the good set of numbers and thank you for the opportunity. So a couple of questions. One, I wanted to understand that what is the seasonality pattern? While we have seen growth in emerging market quarter on quarter, in Europe and Indian market, the growth was slightly muted. So one, I wanted to understand that. And secondly, if you can also give me a split of growth from product launches, volume and price. Third, I wanted to understand the Zoetis product status in Indian market. And lastly, what is the weight of companion animal health product in our portfolio?
Okay, so first question on seasonality. I think seasonality is there in every individual country. There is no seasonality as such across the sector. So therefore, you will find different impacts coming on that. For example, in India, typically the seasonality is there because quarter three, you tend to have a reduction in terms of some of the prevalence of diseases as well as the requirement for these medicines. So you will find typically sequentially quarter three tends to be lower, but I think year on year you will continue to see the growth because of the activities that we are doing. And the same thing applies in other countries as well. It is a combination of, what's the kind of mix you have, whether you have companion animals, whether you have production animals. So there is always seasonality in this in different countries. But I think what you should be focusing on really, we should be looking at is on a, year-on-year growth, which is coming in the respective markets. And we're happy to say that that is something which is consistently coming over there. The second question on this, on volume, new products, and price. Pricing typically, has been different. I think in most countries, we would be expecting a pricing growth of between 3 to 5% on a full year basis. And in markets like Turkey, of course, it would be substantially higher. Going well because of the high inflation, because the inflation there is, well into 40% plus, and therefore we obviously take prices much more. So Typically in our basket, if you look at it, in a, if you say that we grow between, 10 to 12%, you should have about a third in each of this. So you tend to have about 4 to 5% coming from pricing, about 4 to 5% coming from volume. And then at this point of time, about 2 to 3% coming from new products. That's the typical combination which is there in this business. But our effort is really to accelerate the contribution of new products. Last quarter, we began to see a higher combination coming from, contribution coming from new products because of some of the launches which we have done have now begun to roll out to other markets. On the Zoetis distribution status, yes, there has been a product which was discontinued by Zoetis some time ago due to manufacturing issues, and therefore that is still impacting us in terms of part of the base. But we understand from our partners that they have made alternative arrangements to resume manufacturing of that product, and therefore we expect it to come back somewhere in the next 2 to 3 quarters. Yeah, because it is the rearrangement of some of their manufacturing facilities, and therefore they have put a stop to that for some time. But that should continue and come back to us in 2 to 3 quarters. But obviously, our growth is without that, so we are now beginning to grow even the business, which is without the Zoetis distribution, at a much, much faster rate than what we had earlier. On the contribution of companion animals, varies country to country, depends on whether it's distribution or not. India, we don't have companion animals. In Europe, in some parts of Europe, it is as high as 30 to 40%. But I'd say on an aggregate basis, it is probably between 5 to 8% companion animal contribution right now on the farm. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshit Doth from Diamond Asia Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir. Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a few questions, sir. So the emerging market is phenomenal business during the quarter. So can you assume that this run rate is sustainable going forward as you have launched your product in the multiple new countries? This is the first question. And the second question is, as you have started manufacturing from the Turkey and you have started exporting from that market, so what kind of the cost benefit that we are getting and what how should we foresee the gross margin going forward? And the third thing, we are hearing the bird flu cases have started to rise again. Do we have exposure there, specifically in the U.S. market? Because we report the Europe, emerging markets and all. So are we having exposure there? And the last thing that you highlighted earlier, the margin expansion will continue with the new CIPH initiatives. So can you please throw some light on that? Thank you.
So I couldn't hear you very clearly, but I think the first question of yours is that if the emerging market growth, is it sustainable? And what would it continue, right?
Because this quarterly run rate was very strong, right? From 115-20 crore, we have jumped to around 137 crore. So this quarterly run rate is sustainable?
So I think we are more than the run rate. I think the fact that we should be growing in double digits in emerging markets is what we should anticipate going ahead on a quarter-on-quarter basis. There will obviously be some variations depending on, which of the emerging markets, is the seasonal, non-seasonal at that time. But, and again, our emerging markets are, founded on some very strong basis. Turkey is a very strong manufacturing and local export base for us. So is Brazil. So these are both part of the emerging market that we have. So it's not just a trading operation for us. Therefore, we expect that, we should grow at double digits in emerging markets year on year. On a sequential basis, I guess, we'll hopefully, show continuing growth all the time. On the second part, on Turkey manufacturing, there is cost competitiveness having in Turkey, but Turkey, we already have an existing plant. Our growth is coming for two reasons. One, we have used Turkey as a base to start exporting to regional North Africa and Middle East markets, which are fast-growing animal health markets, particularly for the portfolio which is presently available in Turkey. Yeah? And we have an injectable manufacturing plant, which is not, not many companies have an injectable manufacturing plant in that region, and therefore that's an area which is for us growing. Second is that we closed our operation in Germany last year, but some of the products from Germany are being transferred to Turkey. So we do not want to lose the market opportunity for those products. So one time we do have a drop in sales, which used to be earlier from Germany, but now we expect those sales to be revived out of Turkey. And therefore, some of that will come back, and that's how we see growth coming from Turkey. Gross margins, I think in Turkey, as you begin to get volumes, you should get some advantage, because at this point of time, the currency is not sort of, you know, declining as sharply as it used to, say, 2 years ago. And the government policies generally have also been very prudent. And we are seeing, therefore, a stability in that market. I didn't understand the question on U.S. markets, whether the current situation is impacting us.
No. So sir, do we have exposure in the U.S. market? Because we are hearing that the bird flu cases have started to increase there. So are we catering to the bird flu segment as well?
Segment. So, on the, we don't do any formulations to the U.S. At all. Okay, from Sequent, there is of course a strong business which Viyash has, and I'll ask Dr. Hari to talk about it on the exposure to the U.S. But we do not. On the API side, of course, we have a U.S. FDA plant in Vizag, and we have 9 of them in Viyash. So there is APIs which are going to the U.S. But at this point of time, I'm not seeing any big risk on that, Dr. Hari, on the U.S. part.
I think instead of saying risk, we can see the opportunity for us. So human health, we have U.S. presence, of course. Good part is we have manufacturing site in U.S. If at all there is a positive, there will be upside for U.S. if any actions comes from Trump. Mm. Other area where we can see a lot of potential for animal health. So U.S. generic is catching up a lot for animal health that we see last 6-8 months. Lot of clients are asking actually to launch those. I think we can see the U.S. potential for API, selling API, animal health API business to U.S. And also maybe in future we are going to explore formulation for animal health also. And we don't see any risk at this point. We have small exposure, U.S. formulation, but definitely that will have some additional advantage for that.
Okay. So do we also cater the bird flu segment as well?
No. Bird flu, no, right?
No.
Okay. And also the OPEX part, this quarter it was a bit higher side. So you described it in the PPT that because of this inflation environment in Turkey and spending for the domestic market. So how should we see the OPEX part going forward? It will kick into the revenues going forward and then it will normalize on the margin part. How should we see that?
But clearly going forward, we expect that, you know, as the budget proceeds and as the scale improves, you know, OPEX as a percentage should start moving down, at least for what is not business development related OPEX, right, from the normal sort of G&A and things like that. But I think here there has been a one-time thing. It's not exactly one-time because there has been a union wage settlement which has happened. In Turkey, because of which the base has got revised, and then it remains steady for, you know, union arrangements are for a long period of time. So that's why there's a bit of change in the OPEX.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Seth from Quest Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Rajaram and Hari Babu. Congratulations on good performance. So first of all, I have one question on some of the question on the Sequent. Now, export out of Turkey has already started. So how do we see going ahead that can play as a natural hedge so that, I mean, the currency fluctuation really do not affect us?
Any other question, Bharat Bhai?
So. And secondly is now when we have started also in the expanded our footprint to Mexico and Peru in South America. And third, you have stated in your opening remark that now we will see the accelerated growth. So if you can give some color on the sequent part, that will be of a great help. And then I have some strategic question. I'll come back.
Okay, so the first question on Turkey, the thing, yes, you know, we import APIs and some packing materials, etc., into Turkey, either directly or indirectly. And our exports today have, from this last quarter onwards, actually started exceeding the imports that we have. And therefore, we now have a pretty natural hedge as far as currency is concerned. And we expect the exports to keep growing well ahead of our imports. So while, of course, you know, that does not mean that we will not have, you know, currency fluctuations and during an in-quarter thing, but on an annualized basis, you know, we are protected from that. And that has been an effort now for some time. And so that, of course, will keep growing in our view on exports,
yeah,
on Turkey. Yeah, so that's, you know, you will, unless something very adverse happens, the business is now naturally with exports more than imports. The second question that you had is on what we are expanding and what is going to be the growth. Yeah, I think we are now in a position, you know, we have been guiding for a while that, you know, we expect to do double-digit growth on the business, both on top line and on margins, EBITDA. We were looking to move closer to 15%. I think we are now in a position where our top line should grow double-digit more and more comfortably as we began to expand into some other countries. I can't, Mexico, Peru, etc. were not part of our agenda earlier, but now we have started using Brazil as, you know, because it's stabilized over there as a base for the rest of Latin America. And these are strong markets for animal health. So these will come. We'll probably share a bit more when we have, you know, stronger sort of base. Right now, it's early, quick improvements that we are getting in these markets. Yeah, I will leave you to ask the other questions to Dr. Hari, the strategic ones you had.
Yeah. So, good morning, Hari Babu.
Yeah, good morning.
Sir, I mean, now in the first 9 months, our growth was little, I mean, kind of a high single digit or low double digit. From this quarter onward, we have our growth is a high teen. So how do we see, I mean, from here onward, we have, so I mean, a growth as well as the EBITDA margin, whatever we have expanded, where do we see?
So let me start with Viyash. So you must be seeing actually year on year, it's close to 20% growth on top line.
Correct.
And EBITDA margins are very high. As I explained in my previous quarter meetings also, if you can see our OPEX percentage versus the top line, OPEX remains stable. Why? Because our utilization is keep on growing quarter on quarter. Since the OPEX remains same, our EBITDA margins are continuously growing. So this is going to continue definitely next couple of years. Why? Because still our capacity utilization is around 60%, and we have at least, if not 100%, 20-25% free capacity to add products. And also, as you know, API business, every year 10-15% we can improve capacity without adding any capex while doing cost optimization. So this will continue, definitely will grow double digit, absolutely no issue on that. And also our recent investments last 12-24 months, you must have seen a lot of products have been developed and filed. And recently we also added onco portfolio. A lot of products are coming in onco portfolio. And in addition to that, we also started developing few things for CDMO, especially for Big Pharma and also Big Generic. That's continuously adding. Last two quarters, it's added reasonable. In addition to whatever our internal products we filed, last 9 months, we must have added at least 6-8 products under the CDM or CMO activity. So that activity is growing. So Viyash is going to grow continuously. Definitely double digit. And EBITDA will be stabilized at some point of time. May not be 60-70% level, but it will be always better than the top line growth next couple of years. And when it comes to combined, and definitely I can see combined company growth. As we mentioned, synergies, couple of synergies, we are very actively working on that. So while improving the capacity utilization, same as VIS, combined entity also our margins are going to grow because we don't need to add any additional people or much capex. Of course, there will be some optimization capex continuously, but it's going to benefit combined entity near term, mid term as well. And the synergies, whatever initiated, definitely it's going to contribute in mid term. Couple of things may not contribute in short term, whatever the sales expansion or whatever synergies, optimizing few things. So it's going to show maybe in 12-18 months. So we are pretty confident this will continue to grow. Next 3 years, actually, definitely, will be very strong growing company combined entity. Yes, sir. Yeah.
In current year, I mean FY25, we will be combined entity will close somewhere around 3,000 crore, and for 27 we were looking for a kind of a 4,000 crore. So with this kind of now background and you having a coming both the company more closer, so do we see that there is a upside room to grow above 4,000 at the end of 27 because the kind of portfolio, geographic expansion and you are a higher growing category is helping us?
Normally, okay, as a principle, we don't give guidance, but we can expect very strong growth in FY26-27. Definitely, 27 is going to be much, much stronger because whatever initiatives, you know, it takes 24 months. Already we started those initiatives, but FY26 also will be growing very strong, both top line and bottom line. But I can't disclose the number, what is that, but we'll reach our expectations.
Thank you. Next.
Sorry to interrupt. May I request Mr. Bharat Sheth to please rejoin the queue? We have participants waiting for the time. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Thomas from Al Sakurit. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Will it be possible to provide some more color?
Sorry to interrupt. May we request you, Mr. Thomas, to speak a bit louder? We are unable to hear you,
yeah,
sir.
So currently the Sequent margins are, you know, closer to 12.5%. If you could provide some color on what will help to ensure that, you know, it moves closer to the 15% band over the next 12-15 months, that was one. And two, on Viyash, as we hope to have higher growth, the new opportunities which we are looking on the CDMO space is more in the area of human health, or we are exploring more in the area of animal health? If any color could be provided. Thank you.
Okay, I will answer both. Sequent margins improvement 12.5%, right, to ITNs, whatever we are talking. So it's actually gradually it's going to increase next 12 to 18 months. You know, a lot of initiatives have been made in Sequent. Okay, BH is going to help a lot in R&D as well as manufacturing. And Sequent continuously doing cost optimization. There are two parts. One is optimizing manufacturing network and R&D. It's going to create a value which will definitely improve margins. And also utilizing manufacturing network. So we see a couple of opportunities to grow API business, especially in a lot. Because the most important area we are focusing next 12-18 months is the API improvement. Formulation is doing pretty good. So we are pretty confident actually next 12-18 months Sequent is going to grow more than 15-16% on the two fronts. One is optimizing those things and helping from VIH perspective. The second question you were asking, VIH actually the CDMO and the CMO. So as you see, we initiated CDMO last 1.5-2 years with Big Pharma, mostly life cycle management with Big Pharma. Already we supplied a few products, in fact, three products, which are their large volume products. We supplied and also they started qualifying our products. But you know, innovators, it takes normally 2 to 4 years, depending on the markets. So we started validating, they started filing. So that business is going to start in FY26, few advanced intermediates as well as API. But definitely FY27, it's going to come contribute a substantial amount on those things. Those products, they're going to qualify us for their global requirement as a primary source. That means whatever they have business, we are going to get major chunk from that. In addition to that, a couple of areas, especially complex molecules, we tied up with few big generic companies. Okay, even though it looks like generic, but it's not generic, it's a generic plus one, where it requires a lot of chemistry involvement as well as side things. So we tied up with a few molecules with them. So both of those things are coming for launch after 27. These are complex molecules always, you know, either actually limited competition molecules where there were no players, or NC-1 kind of thing. So we are working with a few big generic companies on CMO, and also there are a few part of giant development projects at R&D and manufacturing and also marketing. So these things are going to contribute big from FY27, of course. Even this year also it's contributed well on validation quantities. We did at least 7-8 products validation for in these areas. So it's continuously to grow, because one advantage with this is when you tie up with big companies, you have advantage to launch early. Anchor customer to launch day one, that will boost a lot for company. So we can see a lot of activity, CDMO, CMO in these areas next 2 years.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Himanshu Binani from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Sir, good morning. Thank you for taking questions, sir.
Your voice is breaking.
Hello. Now I'm audible?
Yes, please.
Sir, good morning and thank you for this opportunity, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. So, sir, I have like few questions, largely for the margin side. So, just wanted to have a sense in terms of how do you guys actually calculate the contribution of new products in that particular quarter. So, and in your opening remarks, you highlighted that the contribution has been like somewhere around 2 to 3 odd percent. So these are the products which are actually launched during this last quarter, or how do you see that? So is it the products which are getting launched over the last 1-2 years? And the second question is largely on the margin side. So maybe if you can like help us understand in terms of the margin or the gross margin differential between the new launch product and the traditional ones.
Are you asking specifically for Sequent or for both the companies?
So both the companies.
Okay, so maybe...
So, I think one is that 2% may be related to Sequent, right? But overall, actually, one is when you supply validation quantities, margins is one thing. When you launch new products, margins is other thing. So in that, if I look at the margins for our API business, Viyash perspective, there are two types of launches. One is the mature product launches, and the other one is the new product launches, like you are entering day one for the developed markets. So mature product launches, it's more or less same as our average regular manufacturing product. So when it comes to new product day one launches, those launches are much better than the average mix of regular products. So it's both, actually. We do both. Actually, few products, we do day one launch, and also few products If we are lucky, we may get exclusivity. Still, we are hoping actually few exclusivities soon. Those margins are pretty good. But day one margin, product launches, margins are much better than, at least maybe I can say, more than 10% from the existing base. I think Sequent also is more or less applicable thing, whatever we launch. The new product launches are better than...
Typically, new product launches tend to be improving the margin. That is the direction. Second, on formulations in general, we look at, it takes about 24 months to from the launch in the first market to a registration and expansion in the last targeted market which you will have, right? So when we talk about growth coming from new products and formulations, it's typically from sales of the product from 24 months before to now. That's the broad period taken for registering sales. So the product should have been launched in or introduced first time in the last 24 months.
Perfect. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of A.P. Rajesh from Banyan Capital.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. My question is more around the synergies and more qualitatively. Just trying to understand, you know, on the distribution side, what kind of synergies do you expect? And on the manufacturing side, meaning like if you use the same facilities both for human products as well as the animal products. And similarly on the distribution side, if you can elaborate a little bit more if the selling process or the distribution partners are same. So that's really what I was trying to get a better handle on. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for that. I think two parts. One is distribution, since both businesses distribution channels are different. We don't see much synergies in near term in distribution, especially formulation distribution. When it comes to API distribution, definitely there's a cross-selling opportunity. We started seeing for both companies where we have two business generic. Actually, there's a lot of traction coming from for Sequent.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. We are unable to hear you clearly. Can you please repeat?
Yeah. Okay, is it clear now?
Yes.
Okay, sorry for that. I don't know. So, I started with the distribution, formulation distribution. Since both companies' distribution channels are completely different, we don't see much synergies in near term. Long term, once we start establishing or promoting human health formulation in these countries, they're different, but at least near midterm, we don't see much synergies for distribution and formulation. When it comes to API distribution or sales, but definitely we see a large synergies in that cross-selling. Already we see some of the important things are going up. Since animal health business is started catching up in US generic, we see a lot of cross-selling opportunities for animal health. Same way when we started talking to big pharma, especially CDMO, and we see some opportunities for VIASH on that perspective. Okay, the second question. Other synergies, definitely short-term, mid-term, we see a lot in especially API, R&D, manufacturing, sales, as well as other functions. So already we started integrating R&D. We have started helping Sequent in R&D, both new products development as well as optimizing existing products. That's going to be very soon. Is it clear now? Am I audible?
Yes, in between.
I don't know, a lot of noise is coming somewhere. So, when it comes to manufacturing, this is a bigger area since we have a large manufacturing network, large procurement setup and large supply chain or distribution thing. And we see a lot of synergies in that. So, couple of things, network optimization, and procurement synergies, whether actually buying together or definitely optimizing some of those things, and definitely shared service or support functions we are going to bring together. There will be some optimization on those areas. But these are the major areas, R&D, manufacturing, support functions. We can't give the exact number, but I see there's a large potential. Closing the sites, one is how best we can utilize more, but definitely if it's required, actually we'll optimize one or two sites also to benefit that. We can see substantial synergies in these areas next 18-24 months.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you for attending this call. We're very happy that this has been a strong quarter, and you're seeing the direction moving up. And I think we will have more to report on both the business as well as the progress of the merger. And as Dr. Hari said earlier, we will have, more granular sort of details in terms of some of the synergies and other plans that we have going ahead. So look forward to seeing you at the next call, and thank you and have a good day.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you. On behalf of Sequent Scientific Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.